This is Fresh Air. You may know my guest Mira Nair as the director of the 1988 movie Salaam Bombay. It was about homeless children in Bombay, and it starred children who Nair found on the streets. Nair is an Indian filmmaker who studied theater and acting in Delhi and then came to the States to study at Harvard. Her new film, Mississippi Masala, is about an Indian woman who was born and raised in Uganda but flees with her parents to America during the rule of Idi Amin. They settle in Mississippi, where they manage an Indian-owned motel. The girl, now a 24-year-old woman, falls in love with an African-American played by Denzel Washington. Sure, they're both people of color, but her family is upset that she's getting involved with someone who's not an Indian. In this scene, her father, played by Roshan Seth, is confronted by Denzel Washington.
I see. So you think I ain't good enough for your daughter, is that it?
No, that's not it. Mina is free to love anyone, to live as she chooses. I respect her freedom. But that does not absolve me of my responsibility as a father.
Well, no disrespect to you, sir, but she's a grown woman and we care for each other very much. Now, I think that's all there is to it.
You know, once I was like both of you, I thought I could change the world, be different. But the world is not so quick to change. Mina is my only child. I don't want her to go through the same struggle as I did.
Struggle? Look, I'm a black man born and raised in Mississippi. Ain't a damn thing you can tell me about struggle.
What do you know about my...
No, I know. I know. I know you and your folks can come down here from God knows where and be about as black as the ace of spades, and as soon as you get here, you start acting white and treating us like we your doormats. I know that you and your daughter ain't but a few shades from this right here. That I know.
Mississippi Masala was filmed in the U.S. and in Uganda. I asked Mira Nair what gave her the idea of making a movie about the relationship between an African-American man who had never been to Africa and an African-Indian woman who had never been to India.
The seed of the idea really was exploring the relationship between a black and brown, you know, black and brown communities. And one always thinks of racism as between black and white. And I know, coming from India as I do, with no interaction really with any kind of African community growing up, that there is still within our own community a consciousness of color, of fair being beautiful and of dark not being so beautiful. And coming to America as a student, I found being brown, being Indian, gave me a kind of freedom and flexibility to move freely between the black and white communities. And despite that, I felt always some kind of invisible lines, always sort of rearing their heads at some point. And this gave me the original idea to explore this theme of race between black and brown. But then reading up more about it, I came upon a wonderful article on the Asian expulsion from Uganda. And we are... I mean, I meet so many Asians who look so much like me who've never been to India. You know, it's sort of the quintessential Asian diaspora from Guyana or West Indies or Africa or wherever. And that is extraordinary to me to meet people who are so Indian in even the way they grew up, but yet kind of frozen in their Indianness, who think of India as a kind of homeland but who've never been there. And I think the parallel to the whole African-American situation here is a very real one. And the Asian expulsion from Uganda, when Idi Amin threw out 80,000 Asians practically overnight after three generations of living there, seemed to me a point in history where these tensions reached a very sort of head, which became the leap-off point for this movie.
I'll confess that until I saw your movie, I didn't realize that there had been so many Indians living in Uganda and that they were then later expelled. What brought them there in the first place?
Well, the British, as you know, colonized India in the 1800s, and the British also colonized major parts of East Africa. When when they colonized East Africa, they wanted to build a railway through major parts of East Africa and found that neither the British technicians could stand the tropical conditions and nor did the African, indigenous Africans there have the skill to do this. So they shipped in as indentured laborers, much as they did in the West Indies, laborers from India. So in the late 1800s, a number of Indians were brought into East Africa as indentured labor. Most of these Indians left back for India, but about 25% of them stayed on. That was the first ground, you know, the first ground was laid in this way for Indians to begin their lives there. And as they settled down, they sort of sent for wives from India and the network sort of grew, the community grew.
It strikes me that the cast that you assembled for your movie is as multicultural as the story of the movie itself. You have African-American actors and Indian-American actors and Indian actors and actors from Uganda. And I'm wondering if the acting styles from each of these cultures was really different and if you had to find some way of taking these disparate styles and bringing them together for the movie.
Well, for me, masala is a collection of Indian spices of different colors. It means, for me, I conceived of the entire film as a masala. The casting, the music, the locales, you know, and the themes, of course. The actors that I assembled particularly for their particularity, if I may. I didn't want to flatten anybody out and make them sort of a generic American or a generic sort of flattened out character, because I believe life isn't like that. So I reveled in the sort of soap opera acting tradition that one of the Indian actors came from the legendary song and dance tradition that the mother Sharmila Tagore comes from, you know, from the non-acting tradition of Sarita Chowdhury, who plays the major role opposite Denzel Washington. For me, this was the challenge was to keep the particularity of each character and each human being that I had invited to be a part of this masala, and yet create a seamless universe. I wasn't interested in sort of Alec Guinness playing an Indian, like Passage to India, you know. It was very exciting to pull in actors of various traditions that I had admired for so long, and you know, ask them to be part of this masala world.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Mira Nair, and her new movie is called Mississippi Masala. She's also the director of Salaam Bombay. We're going to take a short break and then talk some more. This is Fresh Air. Film director Mira Nair is my guest. You were talking before about being between black and white when you moved to America, that you could kind of go, you were part of neither culture, but you were comfortable in both, and you had a kind of entrance into both as an Indian. And you had said somewhere that when you came to America, you instinctually felt in solidarity with black people. What gave you that instinctual sense of solidarity?
The warmth, you know, I really felt the physicality, the communal, you know, the sort of communal living of people knowing, you know, having large sort of extended kinships, whether they be real families or whatever, but a feeling of living with a lot of people. And just the sort of living from, you know, the visceral living, I mean, I could really sense a human connection. I responded to that emotion very much. That's the kind of way we live in India. And being together with people, the physicality between us, the fact that you're not, you know, don't have a sense of being alone in the world, that there are people who know your business. And I like that.
You know, one of your earlier films was a documentary made in India about how amniocentesis has led to selective abortion in India, where female fetuses are selected to be aborted in many families because girls aren't as valuable in the culture, in part because you need a dowry for the girl to get married, and the girl leaves and goes to the husband's family. There's no one to carry on the family name.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if when you were growing up, you were aware of the fact that girls seem to have less of a value than boys in that respect.
Well, I came from a fairly liberal family, and I have two older brothers, and I'm the youngest, and then the only daughter. And for me, it was actually a great advantage. One, because I was encouraged as much as the boys were. And secondly, because there was a much greater pressure on the boys to be this, that, or the other. And that pressure was not really placed on me, even while I was encouraged in every other, you know, in every aspect of schooling and growing up. Since that pressure was not on me, I was left to really do what I liked to do and what I wanted to do. And since I wanted to, I was an actress in an amateur level in India. That was fairly unusual. But my mother still encouraged me to pursue it. So coupled with not really having to get all the good grades, I could still be allowed to, you know, develop my interest in theatre, which really was the springboard for being a filmmaker now. So I did come from a fairly unusual background in that respect.
You said that when you came to America, you felt this instinctual solidarity with African Americans. I'm wondering if you felt that African Americans felt that same instinctual solidarity with you, or if it was more one-sided than that.
Well, I don't know. You'll have to ask them. But I do remember feeling this solidarity. I felt sometimes a tension amongst black women when black men would consider me a possible partner for them, or, you know, like I was not a white person, I was a third world sister. And that was threatening in some ways to the African-American women around. And so I remember my friends really being more from Jamaica and the West Indies more than African-American women, my women friends, and we were very close. So I remember that sort of sense of resentment sometimes, you know.
Is race and culture still an issue for you now in terms of fitting in? You've been living in America for a long time. You've been making movies here. Are you self-conscious about being from another country now?
Being from another country is always a strong part of me. I see it really as my strength, not as anything to be to work around. Initially, when I graduated from college and I went back and forth to India, it used to be a source of confusion to me. Should I move back? Should I stay here? Should I place my roots? All those kinds of things. Then I began to use that confusion in my work. And then I began to get used to the fluidity of moving back and forth. But I think, as Nehru said, you have to be very local to be universal. And I feel very, very much rooted in India in a certain way. In fact, I moved out of, I don't live in New York anymore. I don't live in the States anymore.
Oh.
In a everyday sense of the term, you know.
Where are you living?
I live in Uganda now.
You're kidding. Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I do.
Why did you move to Uganda?
Well, I sort of fell in love with the country and with one person, and I live there as a result. And it's not quite India, but we are sort of setting a base in Uganda and in India this year. And I expect to be moving back and forth between Uganda and India.
So is the person who you fell in love with an Indian in Uganda?
You're right.
Wow, so you're in the middle of so many different cultures.
Right, now I'm a genuine masala.
And you met this person making the movie?
Right. So, so now I'm kind of everywhere. But Uganda is very similar to India in so many ways, and it makes me, I feel just so much more at home there, you know. I was sort of tired of New York is a great place to work in, but not such a great place to live in. And I've since had a child, and I just don't expect to raise a kid in Manhattan. No, thank you. So
did you want to raise the child in Uganda?
In India, really. So we're keeping that open. But I'm in the middle of a lot of things right now.
I was wondering if you were still in touch with any of the kids who were your actors in Salaam Bombay, which is a movie about homeless children in Bombay, and you used children who were really homeless to star in it.
Yes, I'm in touch with almost all the children from Salaam Bombay. We set up, you know, from the profits of the movie, a part of the profits, Salaam Balak Trust, which is a non-profit organization in India that is funding learning centers for street kids, not just the kids from Salaam Bombay, but for other kids like them. And now we have three such centers in Bombay and Delhi and Orissa. We made the movie based on these extensive workshops with street kids who then performed themselves, acted, you know, as close as possible to their lives on screen. And these workshops were not just designed to teach a kid how to act or anything, but they were fairly holistic in their design, you know, between providing literacy and coordination and some sort of creative expression, things like that. And these learning centers that we are running now for the last 3 years are sort of takeoffs on that workshop design. In fact, we are using all the benefits from the premieres of Mississippi Masala all over the world to keep the Salaam Balak Trust running. Some of the kids from Salaam Bombay are in these centers, but they are really much older now, and each one is really pursuing what he or she wished to do at that time.
What is the leading actor from Salaam Bombay doing now?
Shafiq Sayed, who played Chai Pao, the tea boy, is now working in Delhi in a film studio, a small film studio, as an assistant camera person, you know, learning how to use the camera and lights. And he has dinner with my mother every Wednesday night.
Oh, that's great.
Yes.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Mira Nair directed the film Mississippi Masala. This is Fresh Air.